So yesterday someone called me up and told me they had the following shaila. There was a fellow that ran a minyan on Yom Noraim, and by running a minyan I mean he put together the chairs, the tables, hired Bali Tfila, acquired the whole thing, and they sold the aliyos like they do at every minyan. There were a couple hundred people at the minyan, including a number of gvirim, and the aliyos brought in a lot of money. The fellow running the minyan never announced where the money was going. He had a particular tzedakah in mind that he wanted the money to go to, but he never announced where the money was going. So someone bought some very expensive aliyos, and afterwards he said, I want the money to go to this particular tzedakah. And the fellow selling the aliyos said, no, that's not where it's going. It's going to a different tzedakah that I had in mind. And he said, you don't have a right to give it to, it was my money. He said, no, it's not your money. You bought an aliyah. So it's my money because I'm the one that's running the minyan. So the shaila is, who has the rights over that aliyah? So I thought, you know, this is not the rabbi's desk shir, this is Temen Alach shir. So instead of discussing that shaila in particular, let's zoom out a little bit. Are you allowed to sell aliyos? Meaning, why is this even, this minhag Yisrael that we have, that you sell aliyos on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and is that something that's permissible? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Mem Zayin Sif Aleph, Gadol Shaba Osam Shekaru B'Torah Golulo V'Rugilim El Knoso B'Domim Yikarim L'Chaviv HaMitzvah. It's interesting, the place Shulchan Aruch talks about spending a lot of money for a kibud, it's about glila. It's not for an aliyah. It's about buying glila, and he says, based on the Gemara, Maseches Megillah, Glila is a very big kibud, so that the minhag is that people spend a lot of money for it. The question is that permissible, or why is that permissible? So there is a Gemara, Maseches Shabbos, based on the Psukim Midivrei Kabbalah of Daber Davar, that a person is not allowed to engage in business dealings or even business discussions on Shabbos. So the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Ksubos, in the first parak of Maseches Ksubos, tells us that even though you're not allowed to speak about business dealings on Shabbos, but cheftzei mitzvah are mutter. You're allowed to speak about matters that relate to mitzvah. Cheshbonos shel mitzvah mutter lechashbin b'Shabbos. You can make cheshbonos that relate to a mitzvah on Shabbos, and therefore you could be posik tzedakah la'aniyim and things of that nature. So if it's about collecting money in order to be posik tzedakah for aniyim, so that would be permissible. The problem is there's a gemara in Beitz on Daf Lamed Vavam Beis that says that one is not allowed to be maktish something on Shabbos. So I don't understand. How could it be that you're allowed to do cheshbonos from mitzvah on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to be maktish something on Shabbos? Isn't being maktish something also considered a mitzvah? Why would that be any worse? So the answer appears in the Ran in Masechet Shabbos, where the Ran says, in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, that being maktish something is a transaction that happens already right there on the spot. That when you are maktish it, it no longer belongs to you. It now belongs to Hegdish. As opposed to, you make a commitment to give tzedakah, the money doesn't belong to anybody else yet. And that's what the Rama writes in Hilchos Shabbos, in Simon Shin Vav, the Rama writes, Yesh Omrim, Dibamakam Shanagu Litain Lekori Batora Misha Beirach Venoda Litzdakah Olechazin Da Aser B'Shabbos Lifso Kami Yitain. That there's a Yesh Omrim that you're not allowed when you get a Misha Beirach to announce how much money you're giving. But Vaminag Lahakel, the mutter lives up tzedakah, but the minig is to be makel, because it's mutter to be posik tzedakah, to decide or to commit to give tzedakah. Rav Adya Yosef even has a tshuva in Yabia Omer and Chela Gimel, Simen Chav Gimel, where apparently some shuls in Egypt had a minig of a non-Jew would come to the shul on Shabbos, and he would mark down everyone's commitments to tzedakah, so because they couldn't keep notes, and they didn't have like those cards with the paper clips or whatever, so they'd hire a nachri. So he discusses whether that's mutter in terms of amira l'nachri, but as far as actually making the commitment to tzedakah, that didn't seem to bother him very much. So the Rama writes that the minig is to be mekel. The Aruch HaShulchan goes a step further in Simen Shin Vav Oz Tezayin. He says lecharchila mutter lecharchila to sell aliyos on Shabbos, and the Marshal in Yamshel Shlomo in Maseches Beitza says that and the Gra as well say that it's not proper, that it's not a proper minag to sell aliyos on Shabbos or to commit money to tzedakah through a sale of an aliyah on Shabbos. What is the nekudas hamachlokes? So it could be as follows. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Choshe Mishpat Simin Reish Yud Beis Sif Aleph, Ein Adam Makne Lo B'Mecher V'Lo B'Matana Ela Dover Sheyesh Bo Mamish Avol Dover Sheyesh Bo Mamish Einu Nikna. That in order for a transaction to be something to count as a transaction, you have to actually buy something that is substantial, something of substance. But if you sell to somebody else, Shulchan Aruch says, the right to eat the fruit of a particular tree or the right to live in a certain residence, you haven't really sold anything. There hasn't really been a transaction. So it could be that those poskim that are makel will say, when the highest bidder wins the auction, he's pledging the amount of money to tzedakah if he gets an aliyah. But there's no actual sale or purchase, because an aliyah is a davar she'ein bo mamish. It is not a substantial item. It is just the right to do something. And therefore, it is not at all like mekach memkar. On the other hand, the marshal in Yam Shel Shlomo says, no, just like we have a concept in kinyanim called situmta, that when it comes to kinyanim, whatever has become if something is not a kinyan al pi Torah, but is recognized as a way of finalizing a transaction, so that becomes a kinyan. So maybe you could say the same thing over here, that that even though it's a davar shein bo mamish, but everyone recognizes this as a transaction, as something that is a transactable item, so therefore that becomes like a davar sheyesh bo mamish, and therefore would be subject to the issur of mekach memkar. It's a little bit of a difficult svara to understand, but that's what they suggest. That's what the Yam Shel Shlomo suggests. Now, so it seems that the minhag is to be makel. However, there are a number of issues that come up when one sells aliyos. We're not going to be able to discuss all of them, but maybe a few of the issues that come up. What about if you sell the first aliyah to a person who's not a Kohen? Can that person decide to keep it for himself instead of giving it to a Kohen? After all, he paid good money for it. Just the other day, I was in Bergenfield when my granddaughter was being named, and they looked around the shul, and I guess all the Kohanim in Bergenfield sleep late. There were no Kohanim in the whole shul, or they wake up very early, but there were no Kohanim in the whole shul. So I got the first aliyah. I got the first time in my life, I got the Kohen aliyah. But what if there is a Kohen there, and you sold the aliyah, and you sold it to a Yisrael? So the Chidah writes in Birkei Yosef, is quoted by Rav Vadia in Yabia Omer in Or Chaim Chelik Vav Simen Chav Gimel, that there was a minag on Shavuos that they would always give the first aliyah to the rabbi of the shul, and that was a kavadat Torah. And they would not throw the Kohanim out. They would say Ya Amod Harav Bimkom Kohen, and even though the Kohen was there, they would call the rabbi for the first aliyah. And they said that the basis for this, Rav Vadia explains, is that the whole reason that you call the Kohen first is Vikidashto. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that for all Davar Shem Kedusha, the Kohen has Kedima for all of these matters. But we assume if it's on a once in a while basis, and it's for the sake of Kavanat Torah, that the Kohen would certainly be Mochel such a thing. So the Magen Avraham writes as well that the minhag is in many places to sell Chasen Bereishis to somebody, and they're not Makbid to call a Kohen for Chasen Bereishis, because the assumption is that the Kohen is mochel such a thing. There is a discussion in Bir Alach in Simon Kuf Lamed Vav. Bir Alach discusses if someone buys an aliyah, does he have the right to take precedence over a chiyuv? Meaning, what if someone, you have a chassan on the Shabbos before his wedding, you have a bar mitzvah boy, so would you push that off? Or you have a yard site or something like that? Does a person who buys the aliyah have precedence over that? So that's a discussion. The Bir Halacha says he does not think that he should push away, that it's proper that he should push away those who have a chiyuv. There's also a discussion, if I buy an aliyah, should I take it for myself or should I give it to somebody else? Meaning, is it proper, if I have the right to do a mitzvah, for me to pass up on the opportunity to do that mitzvah? So Rav Zilberstein, Chashuk Echemen, Amaseches Megillah, quotes a Shari Tshuva, Nor Chaim Simin, Tuf Pei Beis, that just like when it comes to physical things, Chayecha Kodmin, so too maybe in spiritual things, Chayecha Kodmin. Right? The discussion appears in the Achronim about a Kazayis Matzah, right? If you have, there's only one Kazayis Matzah, so should you split it and everyone have each person have a half a Kazayis? Should you give it to the other guy? Should you take it for yourself? Do we say Chayecha Kodmin? There's a minig by Chasidim that whoever finds the most beautiful esrog, they give it to the Rebbe. Is that right? Why should the Rebbe get the most beautiful esrog? If I found it, Chayecha Kodmin, maybe you should take it. You should take it for yourself. So Rav Zilberstein says that getting an aliyah to the Torah might be different, because when the Gemara says that Kol Ona Amen, it gets even greater schar than the person who recites the bracha. So it could be that I'm not losing anything by giving the aliyah to somebody else, because I'll be able to be Ona Amen on the bracha. Furthermore, I think that what the Achronim suggest, Rav Asher Weiss and others, is that when you're also fulfilling a separate mitzvah of Kavod HaTorah, of Kibud HaVeim, something like that, by giving the kibbutz to a parent or to a Talmud Chacham or something of that nature, so then that mitzvah overrides the chayecha kodmin of wanting to do it yourself. So now, what about our shaila of the? You know, might as well just cover the discussion. What about our shaila that we had of a man bidding on an aliyah in shul and winning the aliyah, winning the bid, but he's going to be giving. He intended to give it to a different tzedakah. So this exact shaila came up in the Tshuvas of Rav Menashe Klein in Chelek Tesvav Simin Kuf Dalid, whether a person is permitted to say, I want to give the money to my tzedakah. I paid, my bid was that I am in the zechus of doing the mitzvah, giving tzedakah that I want to give. I should deserve the aliyah. So Rav Menashe Klein says that's not the way it works. The shul is entitled to the money. Whoever runs the shul is entitled to the money. Buying an aliyah is a transaction that so much so that there's a big question how mekach u'memkar is allowed to be done on Shabbos. That was our whole discussion. How could you have a whole discussion mekach u'memkar if it's not really selling anything? So it must be that it's considered to be like a transaction. Rav Menashe Klein points out that it may be different than when you get a mishaberach, when you do mishaberach after your aliyah. When you do mishaberach, so then it's all, you know, you're getting a bracha. I'm going to say you do a mitzvah, right? Not just any mitzvah. Rav Shachter points out that it's always got to be tzedakah. Then you're going to be misnadiv with tzedakah. So maybe that doesn't have to be to the shul. That could be to whomever. But when you're buying an aliyah, maybe that dafka should have to be to the shul. Okay, we'll stop there, but there are a lot of other interesting discussions around this as well.